All right, so there's a reason why I had Brother Jeff read this whole chapter in Deuteronomy 28. And the name of the sermon today is Sin is a Reproach to Any People. And so keep your finger in Deuteronomy 28, but go to Proverbs chapter 14. So just turn to Proverbs, so go right in your Bible a little bit. It's about the middle of the Bible, we'll get to Proverbs chapter 14. So this is where the name of the sermon comes from. Proverbs 14, and we're going to look at just verse 34 there. So Proverbs 14, 34. The Bible reads, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." Now, I had a sermon, actually, idea that I wanted to preach this morning, but I changed my sermon idea because of what happened this past... It was Sunday night. It was Sunday night that there was a mass shooting that happened in Las Vegas, and I believe it was like 58 or 59 people died, and there was like hundreds of people that were wounded, and it was at this country concert in Las Vegas. And so it's a tragedy, obviously, and no one would condone, obviously, this person that, or whatever happened as far as killing all these people. There is no one that would condone that, but what angered me and what made me want to preach this sermon is the elites that are in our country, the celebrities, the talk show hosts, all these people that think we care what they think, decided to grandstand and pontificate their morality to the rest of the world. And so, obviously, the first thing they want to say is that we need to take away the guns from everybody. That's they say gun control, but what they mean is gun confiscation. And they want to come around and just start rounding up everybody's guns. But what I want to appreciate, they always say, you know, why does this happen? You know, why do we have all these shootings? Why is this escalating? Because of sin, that's why. And the thing is that this country is becoming more wicked every single day. It's becoming the modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. And everybody's just wondering, why is this happening? We just read a whole chapter of what God was going to do to the nation of Israel if they didn't follow His commandments and if they didn't, if they were to go into sin. And that was a long chapter. There was, 10 verses or 11 verses on blessings, and the rest of those 60 verses was a curse. And notice what it says in verse 61, if you're still there in Deuteronomy 28. So he lists all these plagues, all this stuff, the botch of Egypt, the plagues of Egypt that were on there. In verse 61, it says, "Also every sickness and every plague, which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed." And if you think that this is just something that's in the Old Testament, read Revelation. Read Revelation when God's going to pour out His wrath on this, the whole world, and He says, they're going to sing the song of Moses. And if you think this is bad, turn over to Deuteronomy 32 and read that someday. And we won't do that because it's a long chapter too, and we'll just be reading the Bible the whole time for this sermon. But righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Any people. And so why is our country full of violence? Why is our country full of all wickedness and all this stuff that's going on? Is it a coincidence that this happened in a city that's called Sin City?
Amen.
There, Las Vegas, my friends, is not a place that any Christian should go. Unless you're going to go try to preach the gospel, but that's like going to a bar and preaching the gospel. That's trying to go to a strip club and preach the gospel. It's not going to be profitable. But a Christian, in my opinion, has no place going to Las Vegas. And I don't even want to go even if it's a work-related seminar that has to do with structural engineering. Because I don't want anywhere near that city. Because sin is a reproach to any people, and sin brings forth death. And that's what we're going to talk about. Why, you know, those people I don't believe deserve to die as far as, like, they didn't deserve capital punishment. So I don't, I'm sad for these people that were there. Because that could be any one of us, right? Any one of us could fall back and get into sin and go to some worldly concert and go and do that. These weren't Satan worshipers that were at this concert, right? These were just normal people that were going to a country concert. Probably conservative people. You know, most conservative people, Republicans, all that stuff are going to a country concert. So this wasn't Slayer or Iron Maiden or like some wicked band as far as like a satanic band, but it wasn't a Christian gathering, that's for sure. And so what happens when you put yourself, can a man take fire into his bosom and not be burned? When you go to Las Vegas, When you go to Sin City and expect to come out of there unscathed, untainted, you're kidding yourself. I've never been there. I don't want to go there. But from what I've heard, every corner's got prostitutes and all this stuff. They're just handing out strip club cards and casinos. Everything about what's going on there is wicked. You know, you have magician shows. You have all these different things. All these scantily clad people, and it's all stuff that's gonna ruin your life. And the big question they ask is, why does this happen? Well, it's got to be guns' fault. The guns, you know, some inanimate object. No, it's the sin of this people, and the people that are pontificating and grandstanding about what needs to be done and what morals we should have are the ones that are voting for babies to be killed in this country. And you know what? If you're voting for a child, if for these abortions that are happening in our country, do not come to me and lecture me about morality in our country. Amen. And so, why am I preaching on this? Because it angers me when you have a bunch of Sodom and Gomorrah, a bunch of fags and queers in Hollywood, and these reprobates that are standing there, like Jimmy Kimmel, like Jimmy Fallon, and all these talk show hosts that are going to tell us what we should believe, what we should do, when they are for all the wickedness that's in the world. Go to Leviticus chapter 18. So you might want to put a fireball next to this sermon when we put it up on YouTube, because this isn't going to be politically correct. And I didn't, this wasn't something I was like, man, I want to preach on this. But this is something our country needs to know, is that what does God think about the sin? What does it do to our country? Leviticus 18, starting verse 22, speaking of the queers. Leviticus 18, verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled which are cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Verse 28, it says, "And the land spew not you out also, when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you." Our land is polluted by the blood of innocent children. Our land is polluted by the abominations of homosexuality, you know, the sodomy, and all this stuff that's going on. And if you don't think that bestiality is going on, think again. Because I guarantee you it's going on. I guarantee it, as much as pedophilia is going on in our country, the next thing is going to be the fact that they're going to normalize pedophilia and they're going to normalize bestiality. You don't think that's coming, wait for it. And you wouldn't think that they would come where homosexuality and sodomy was normalized. They don't just want you to not say anything about it. They want you to say it's normal. They want you to say it's not sin. And if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 20, you'll know that it's given the death penalty in the Bible. In Romans chapter 1, it says that, knowing the judgment of God, that they which do such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The death penalty, you know, should still be on the queers of this world. Amen. It should still be on all murderers under two or three witnesses. It should still be on adultery. Amen. And yes, if your child smites you and curses you, Jesus said, let him die the death. Amen. And you know, that may not be popular in churches today, but that's the perfect law of liberty.
Right.
And so that's what the Bible teaches about polluting the land. In Psalm 106, verse 37, Psalm 106, verse 37, so we saw what pollutes the land. Well, sodomy does. Bestiality obviously would. Well, Psalm 106, I noticed no one's in the splash zone this morning, so that's good. So, 106, Psalm 106, verse 37. There's nothing new under the sun, my friends. This has been in the Bible days. This is today, and it'll get less, then it'll get worse, then it'll get less, then it'll get worse, and it's only going to get worse until Jesus comes, until the great tribulation happens. And so I believe that what's going on today is the sign of the times with all the wickedness that's going on in the world. Psalm 106, verse 37, it says, "Yea, they sacrifice their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with their blood. Notice, the land is polluted because of sodomy. The land is polluted because of killing children. And this is just the same as abortion. When they put those, when they sacrificed their children to Molech and made them pass through the fire and sacrificed their firstborn children, that's just like what everybody's doing today. If you look into what abortion is and how they do it, it's even more graphic than that as far as how they actually commit that act. And so the land is polluted. Our country kills 3,000 babies a day. A day. And you want to, someone would say, I'm surprised this happens. All this stuff happens in our country. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often. I'm surprised it doesn't happen every single day for all the children that are being killed today. For all the sodomy that's being pushed on our children, for all the sodomy that's being done, that's defiling our land, I'm surprised God is as merciful as He is, that He's as long-suffering as He is with our country. And so, I'm surprised it doesn't happen more. And so, Ezekiel chapter 36, I want to show you another. There's so many of these, and we could be here all day. Jeremiah 3. In the beginning of the chapter there. I just want to show you different things that pollute the land. And here's the thing. There are righteous people that live in this country. There are people that aren't wicked like that. And so, but you know what? These people are tainting our country even though we're in it. And this stuff happens, and there could be Christians that die as a result of this. Because of the land being polluted and God allowing stuff to happen, allowing wickedness, allowing these people to do what they want to do. And there's plenty of places in the Bible where it wasn't God doing it, but He allowed it to happen. And so, God allowed that to happen in Las Vegas. God allowed a lot of these things to happen. But you know what? I believe it's a judgment of the wickedness that's going on. It's a prelude to what's going to happen to this nation eventually. God will judge this country. God will judge the world for its wickedness. And hopefully as Christians, we could stay His hand a little bit so we could see more people saved. But it's only going to get worse, my friends. It's only going to get worse. And you need somebody up here. You need a preacher that's going to actually preach the truth about this and actually get mad about sin. It says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. And so, this country needs preachers all across this country to stand up and tell it like it is. Amen. And tell these Jimmy Kimmels and all these late night hosts to sit down and shut up. Because they have no right to tell me about my morality or about the morality that we should have in this country when there is wicked as hell.
That's right.
So Jeremiah 3 in verse 1 there. And I just want to kind of show you different passages where, so we saw sodomy pollutes the land. Killing your children pollutes the land. These should be no-brainers, but the Bible does spell this stuff out. Jeremiah 3 and verse 1, it says, they say, if a man put away his wife and shall go from him and become another man's, shall he return again unto her? Shall he return unto her again? Shall not the land be greatly polluted? But thou hast played the harlot with many lovers. Yet return again to me, saith the Lord. Lift up thine eyes unto the high places, and see where thou hast not been lying with. In the ways hast thou sat for them, as the Arabian in the wilderness, and thou hast polluted the land with thy whoredoms and with thy wickedness. Again, fornication, whoredoms. This isn't necessarily sodomy. This could just be the fact of fornication, adultery, everything that goes on in our country. And that it's just rising. All this stuff is rising. And so all this stuff is polluting our land. And it's just like, it's adding coals to the fire. And one day when that hammer comes down, woe unto this nation. Babylon USA is going to come down in flames. And you can see why it goes down in 1 hour. 1 hour, this whole nation is going to be just ashes. And it's not going to be inhabited again. And you can see why that happens. If you just open your eyes to the Bible, look around at what's going on in our country and just everything that's being pushed on on everybody, and you know what? I don't have cable anymore, but you can still see it out there. You can still see stuff pushed at you, and I can only imagine what TV's like now today. I can only imagine what these commercials are pushing. And every once in a while, you get an ad on YouTube and you see all this filth that they're trying to push at you, and it just disgusts me. You know what? It disgusts God, too. And so God is angry with the wicked every day. His eyes are too holy to behold sin, and so this stuff, I'm sure, makes him want to vomit. And it says that the land's going to vomit them out. It's going to spew them out. Ezekiel 36, verse 18, it says, "Wherefore," and you can turn there if you want, but I know we're kind of going to a lot of different places. I tried to keep it in order. But Ezekiel 36, and verse 18, Ezekiel 36, verse 18, it says, "Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols, wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries according to their way, and according to their doings I judged them." Now, there's a lot of things you can see in here about shedding blood. Think about how our nation goes across the pond and kills innocent people every year with this nation building and all this stuff that they do over there. It's a whole sermon in itself to talk about the wickedness of our country and what we do in wars and just all the innocent people that have died throughout these wars, this endless, continual war that we've been in the Middle East. And do not for a second think that it's only people that are holding guns that are getting killed. You can see footage all day long of all these innocent children. Think of your children and being in that area, and your children being bombed and being killed by the U.S. Because that's exactly what happens over there, and that blood is on our hands. You know, it talks about not, "My brethren, be not ye many masters, knowing that ye shall receive the greater condemnation." Our country wants to be the leaders of the world, but you know what? The greater condemnation is going to come on it because that they're masters of this world, and all the blood that's being spilled is on their hands. And so it's polluting our land. Our nation is forgetting God. We saw this, you know, probably before I was born when they were taking prayer out of schools. I don't know if that happened in the 70s or if it was in the 80s. I was born in 85, so I wouldn't have remembered it anyway if it was in the 80s. But I knew, though, they started taking prayer out of schools and all this other stuff. And it's not that they took it out. They just basically, you get punished if you do it. You get punished if you take your Bible there. You even talk about the Bible. You bring up creation, even though it's not illegal. It's just persecution all day long. And that's why, obviously, we're going to homeschool, because I'm not going to put them in that Christian fool system where they're going to perpetuate all this garbage that I'm preaching against today. But Psalm 9, go to Psalm 9. I'm going to show you a couple places in Psalm. I want you to see, first of all, that this stuff obviously is going on. No one would, even Jimmy Kimmel would say to you that people are committing fornication all the time, that people are committing sodomy all the time, that abortions are being done, whether he thinks it's an innocent life or not. No one would deny that this stuff is happening in our country. No one would deny it. And so, what does God think about it? That's where I'm going to get my morality from, the perfect law of liberty. But Psalm 9, verse 17, notice what the Bible says. Psalm 9, verse 17, it says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Our nation, by and large, is trying to get away from God. Why do they want to get away from God? Because he has consequences. Because he's a judgmental God. And he's the great judge. He's the one that's going to judge this whole world. He's going to judge the quick and the dead. And in Psalm 50, verse 22, this kind of complements that. "So the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Psalm 50 and verse 22. The Bible reads, "Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest he tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver you." So what's the warning to our country today is that if you're going to forget God, you need to remember that he's going to tear you in pieces. He's giving you a warning that he's going to tear you in pieces. This country is going to be torn into pieces because of all the wickedness that it does. Because it's forgotten God, because it doesn't try to keep his commandments, and it's coming, my friends. And we can already see the fruit of it. We can already see the fruit of it. One curse I can see today, and this is not going to be popular, but we're going to it anyway. Isaiah 3. Go to Isaiah 3. So these mass shootings that happen with these crazy people or just whatever's going on, the inside jobs of 9/11 and just our government and how wicked it is. And yes, it was an inside job, and Building 7 went down without a plane being hit. But that's another sermon for another day. But you know what? You think our government is righteous? You think our government is for the best interest? No, they're for their own interest. And there's wickedness in high places and principalities and all that, and the rulers of darkness. And that's all going on. And even if you don't believe it, it's still there. But you can see these things. You can see all this wickedness happening and know that God's word will not return void. We were talking about disciplining and how we were talking about how when we discipline our children, we need to always win the battle. They need to know that if I say something, it's got to happen or there's going to be consequences. And as soon as you don't follow through with that, they see it. And they see, oh, well, he didn't follow through with that. I could probably do it again. And God is a just God, and those punishments will happen. But Josiah, for example, King Josiah stayed that hand until a wickeder king came along to where God's like, all right, I'm going to punish those sins of Manasseh. But it was after, you know, all this other wickedness that happened. But as righteous people, we can stay the hand. You know, there was a remnant in Israel that stayed the hand from completely destroying Jerusalem and Israel to be like Sodom and Gomorrah. It said they would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah if it wasn't for that remnant.
That's right.
And so there is hope for our country, but it's in the saved. It's in the church. It's in the pillar and ground of the truth, which is the church of the living God. And we need to get back to righteousness. But Isaiah 3 and verse 4. Now this is not going to be popular, but you know, this needs to be preached today because this is going on today. Isaiah 3:4 it says, "And I will give your children, or I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable." We can see this today. The children rolling over their parents, slapping them in the face and telling them what to do. And disrespect for parents, not honoring thy father and thy mother. We can see that today with the children and just the disobedience of children. Isaiah, go down a few verses to verse 12. Verse 12, it says, "As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women shall rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy path." Today we have a bunch of women leading men. Now this is not PC. This is not something that the mainstream, they can't swallow this. They're probably losing their minds. If they were to hear me say that's a curse for women to rule over men.
Appreciate it.
So this is what's going on today, where we have a bunch of women usurping authority over men. And that's a curse, my friends. That's a curse on our nation. And you know what? Women are the weaker vessel. Do you know how that happened? Because men were weak and they allowed it to happen.
Right.
Because there's no way that would happen in the fact that we're all stronger than them. Therefore, they couldn't just bull their way up there without our permission. And so this idea of women pastoring, women teaching, women usurping authority over a man. "I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence."
Amen.
You know, it is a shame for women to speak in the church. But then you got Joyce Meyer up there with her Bull Dyke haircut and her telling us what we need to do and telling us what the Bible says when she can't even understand 1 Timothy chapter 3, where it says that a bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife.
Amen.
And unless she's actually a man underneath all that, and that her husband's actually a woman, that she's disobeying God and she has no right to be behind that little glass pulpit or whatever she has.
Right.
Women ruling over men. I remember there was a curse that was applied to men and women, and one of them was the fact that we were going to rule over her. If you don't like that, I'm sorry, that's what the Bible teaches. In my house, I'm the boss. In my house, what I say goes.
Amen.
Now, am I a dictator? Do I beat my wife? No. But I am the boss. My say is what happens in that house. Do I ask my wife for opinions? Of course. You know, my wife's smart. You know, it's, but in the end, I am the leader. I'm the one that makes that final decision. My wife doesn't say, no, we're not doing that, or she tells me, gives me marching orders of what we're going to do. Do you know that this church was not her idea? This was my idea. Now, obviously, we've talked about the fact that, you know, are you going to be able to handle this? I want our relationship to be good. I want us to be strong before we go into this. But it's not like I asked her permission. I, in the end, made that final decision that we're ready to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're not going to quit this until they kill me. You know, this, and until someone throws me out of this church and everybody votes me out or something like that, then I'll give you the keys and I'll start a church across the street or something. But here's the thing. Women ruling over men is a curse. Children ruling over men is a curse, and it's exactly what's going on in our country. We almost had a woman voted in as president, and that would have been the ultimate curse in our country. Now, obviously, that woman is wicked as hell, but you have these people that are running for office, and I just want to be like, who's your husband? Where did he put his pants? Because he must have lost them and gave them to you, and I don't know if he's wearing a dress in the house, but I just see that when I see a woman that's in leadership, when I see a woman that's a governor or some other like position of authority, I'm just like, that man must be like a dog with a tail tucked between his legs. And as soon as someone says something to him loud, he just like starts squealing off somewhere. And so it baffles me what's going on in this country. So we need to get back to the fact that men are men. Men are the leaders. And you know what? Women like that. Women like when you take control. They like when you make those decisions. They don't want to make all those decisions. They may say that, but that's not what they want. The thing is, they want... Now, obviously, they have certain things they like, and they want you to know what they like. But in the end, they want you to make that decision. You know, if my wife likes a certain type of food and or a certain type of place to eat, you know, obviously, she's going to like it if I'm like, hey, let's go eat over there. Because I know what she likes. I know what she wants. And so, but in the end, they want you to make that decision. They don't want you to be like, I don't know. What do you want to do? What do you want to do on this? What do you want to do on this? You know, usually I'm just like, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. And do you have any issues with that as far as like schedule or what's going on? And so I at my house, if you know me, I'm not this mean dictator as far as like just throwing her around, telling her to do all this stuff. She has a lot of freedom as far as what she does, what she buys at the store. She can buy whatever she wants. And what she does at home with the children, we're joint in that as far as raising our children. But in the end, the husband has the say, has the final rule. The father has the final say in what's going on in that home.
Amen.
And you'd have a lot more marriages that are sticking together if men would just take up that mantle. And you'll find this, my friends, and especially if you're single out there and you're looking for a wife or looking for you know, that marriage one day, know this, that they ultimately want you to be that leader. They ultimately want you to be that. Even if they say they don't, they'll come back. They are looking for that person that's going to dominate them, that's going to rule over them. And that's not popular in today's culture, but that's the truth of the matter, and that's why you have all these women that are like, I don't want to be with this person because he's a pansy. And, you know, they want a guy that's a man. They want a man that dresses like a man, talks like a man, and does things like a man. I'm not saying you got to go out and start chopping down trees like a lumberjack, but be a man. Be a man. And that's not the point of this sermon today, but I'm getting off on a tangent because that's not popular today, but that's what needs to happen in our country. We need men to be men and stop trying to be more like women and get in touch with your sensitive side. It takes a lot for me to cry, my friends. I'm not one of those preachers that's going to be up here weeping when we're talking about certain items. Unless someone dies in my family. I mean, that's probably the only time you'll ever see me weeping is like someone died or something really tragic happens. I'm not that emotional. Actually, my wife's probably not that emotional either, but she's definitely a little more emotional than I am. And that's just the way men and women are made. Sin brings forth death. And go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. So, I know we got on that little tangent for a little bit, but I think that's something that needs to be preached in our country today, that is a curse. All these women that want to be leaders, they need to be leaders of the home. They need to be heads. They need to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. And they'll be happier for it. They'll be happier for it, my friends. And it's hard raising children, but they'll be happier for it. And so let the man take all the responsibility of bringing in the money. Let the man take all that responsibility upon his back, because that's what our job is. It's not the job of the wife. And if you're putting both those burdens on your wife, it's going to be straining on her. And so I'm going to get off on that tangent. So James chapter 1, verse 15. James chapter 1, verse 15. It says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, what you got to understand about this, obviously, we're all sinners. We're all sinners, and we're all going to die physically, unless Jesus comes in the clouds. But we would all go to hell because of our sin, and suffer that death in hell, and that second death of the lake of fire. But sin, even as Christians, and in this life, can bring forth death. There is a sin unto death. The Bible says, I do not say that he shall pray for it. There's sins not unto death. Meaning that there's sins that you commit to where, you know, God is merciful and doesn't allow you to die for it. And then there's other sins that are capital punishment sins. And if the government doesn't take care of it, God may take care of it. And so sin brings forth death. For the wages of sin is death in Romans 6:23. And then in Romans 7:5, there's so many on this, but it says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So, when you go to a city called Sin City, Las Vegas, and you're going into that environment, know that sin brings forth death. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And can you think of a city that's not more lustful than Las Vegas? I mean, it is a city full of lust and enticing pleasures of the world, gambling, fornication, like all these different things that are the most enticing things that a man has to deal with or that a woman has to deal with, that's just all out there and just blinking in your eyes the whole time. And I haven't been there, but I'm just imagining what it's like. This neon city with all these things just trying to like tell you to go do these things. And so that brings forth death. So am I surprised that 59 people died? No, I'm not. I'm not surprised. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often down there. I'm surprised it doesn't happen more often in these big cities where it's full of violence and wickedness. And so I'm not surprised by it because that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that sin brings forth death. And so you got to think about that as a Christian, that if you say, well, I'm saved, I know I'm saved, there's nothing that can separate me from the love of Christ, and I know that, right? Salvation is by faith alone. It's not by your works. It's not by keeping the law. And you can never lose your salvation. That's true as the day is long. But you still have consequences in the flesh. You know, a Christian can still be killed. It can still die in different manners, in different ways. And I'd rather have the expected end that the Bible talks about. And this isn't in my notes, but go to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. So in all this is what we're looking for as Christians. We want to have an expected end. We don't want to be dying in some concert somewhere. Do you think that's how I want my life to end as a Christian? Is to die in some country? First of all, I would never be caught dead in a stupid country concert because I hate country music. Country music's like the worldly CCM music or something. It's just CCM's like awful. Like the mainstream is country, and then you have CCM that's trying to be cool, and they're awful. So that breathy, like, I had my first beer and I met Jesus kind of music, and it's stupid. Anyway, so I hate country music, so I wouldn't be at that stupid concert anyway, but that's beside the point. But Jeremiah 29, verse 11, that may have stepped on more toes than anybody, actually. I don't know. I don't know if there's country music fans in here. But, so verse 11 there. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Now, this is something that I want to strive for as a Christian, to have an expected end. That doesn't mean that it's not going to be a brutal end, because maybe I could die for Christ. Maybe there's a martyr, you know, maybe I can be a martyr for Christ. And I'm not saying it's going to be like a peaceful death, but it's an expected end. It's not something unexpected. right? And it's something that's what I would love to have. I'd love to have that expected end that you would look at me and say, all right, that makes sense. You know, he was living a godly Christian life. That's how he went. And so I don't want it to be I backslid and went to Vegas and went to some country concert and some crazy person shot me. That's not how I want to go. But when you put fire in your bosom, you're going to be burned. And sometimes it's not going to be that extreme, obviously, but that's a warning to us as Christians. That's a warning that, hey, if you backslide, and even if it's something as simple as just going to some, like, you know, honky-tonk, you know, concert that's not, like, satanic or anything like that, but it's just, like, something that's kind of appealing to your flesh, that something like that could happen. And notice what it says in Ezekiel chapter 14. So, know this, that God is able to deliver us out of judgment. He's, you know, just like Lot, just like Noah. You remember those stories, and 2 Peter talks about this, how when he destroyed Sodom, he pulled out the righteous. There obviously wasn't 10 righteous there because he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but he pulled out Lot and his family, or some of them anyway, and he knows how to deliver the righteous out of temptation and to deliver the ungodly unto punishment, and to eternal punishment. But there's some cases where God doesn't save every righteous person as far as those that are saved. Notice what it says. This is an interesting passage in Ezekiel 14. And look at verse 12. Ezekiel 14, verse 12. It says, "The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon the land, and say, Sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send pestilence into that land and pour upon my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness." So Noah, Daniel, and Job must have been really good people. Obviously, we know that. Job was a just man, the most righteous man upon the earth in his day. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and obviously he's the only person that God chose to build this ark. Do you know that when the flood came, I don't believe it was just Noah and his children that were saved. Of course, I believe Ham wasn't even saved. I believe he was a reprobate. But I believe there was other saved people there. It's interesting that Methuselah died right when the flood happened. Yeah. Do you think he just died of old age right before that flood happened? Or do you think maybe he died in the flood? And so, in this case, only Noah, Daniel, and Job would be saved by their own righteousness from this judgment. And so, there's stuff that could happen to our country to where saved people could die in it. Saved people could get caught in all that judgment that's coming across our nation. Think of, like, the hurricanes. Think of all these things. And I'm not saying that's the judgment of God, but it wouldn't surprise me, my friends. It wouldn't surprise me if the pestilence and the and earthquakes and all these different things that happen is God judging our nation for what's going on. And just know this, that, hey, if you want to be safe, if you want to be safe, it's only in the Lord. Some men trust in horses, some in chariots, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. And so the only safety that you can have is in the Lord. And here's the thing, I want my children to be those that would be saved from judgment and from the wickedness that's being poured on this country, or from unreasonable and wicked men. The Bible talks about how, you know, Paul in 2 Thessalonians talks about and prays to God that he would deliver us from any unreasonable and wicked men. And isn't that what happened in Las Vegas? An unreasonable, wicked person? Someone that's just mad? Someone that's crazy that would do something like that? You know, God can deliver you from that. But not if you're living in sin. If you're living in sin, that hedge is not about you. You're saved, and there may have been saved people that died at that concert and are in heaven. And praise the Lord, hopefully there was a lot of them that were. But probably not, just knowing that few there be that find it. So we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about physical salvation as far as how long will you live on this earth. And here's the thing. Why do I preach this sermon? Why does this anger me? Because I don't want my children to grow up in this wicked nation. I don't want to see it keep spiraling down to this. I'm not just out there to say, let's just see how bad it gets. And that's where the pre-tribbers come in, because they don't care because they think they're not going to be here for the Great Tribulation. But I personally think we will. I personally think that if it comes in our day, we could be here for the Great Tribulation, which the world has never seen. And I want our family to be protected by God. I want this church family to be protected by God. Because you know who God's going to protect? You know who He's going to help more than anybody? Are those that are friends with Him. Think about where your priorities lie when it comes to even family and friends. As far as if this building was on fire, you know the first people I'm going to be pulling out of this building, and I love you all, but is my wife and children. I'm going to make sure they're safe before anybody. There's priorities, right? And if God had a priority as far as who's He going to save from judgment in these areas, who do you think He's going to pick? The person that's not doing anything and doesn't keep any of His commandments, or the people that are living for Him, doing everything that He wants them to do, who's He going to keep around? Now, obviously, all those people will still go to heaven, but who's He want to stay on this earth? Those that are more productive, those that are doing His commandments, and that are right with Him. And so, it's a call to action when it comes to our country as far as how we need to be righteous. We need to be that example. We need to be a light unto this world, not only with the gospel, and that is the beginning stage. We need to see people saved, and the only way that they're going to get into the Bible and start doing what they need to be doing is to get saved. So that's the first step, but we also need to preach righteousness. Preach godly living. Preach a sanctified life. And, you know, we get a bad rap for saying, you know, that you can't lose your salvation, and that you're giving people a license to sin. Listen to this sermon again, and let me know if you think I'm giving someone a license to sin. Am I giving someone a license to sin when I say God is going to judge you for what you do in this life? Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Amen.
And there may have been saved people that were in that shooting, but they still reap what they sowed in this life. And it's sad. It's not like I'm rejoicing over that, because, you know, it could happen to any one of us. We could backslide. We can get into that type of sin. But know that there's consequences for that.
Right.
That's not how I want to go out, my friends. And that's not how I want to see anybody go out that's of the household of faith. I want us to go out like Stephen. I want us to go out like Paul, who said, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. That's how I want to go out. I want to have an expected end. But today we have a bunch of elites and celebrities that are grandstanding all their morality and talking about what we need to do and how we're, that we need to ask for forgiveness for God because I own a gun. No, I own a gun to protect my family from those enemies that are foreign and domestic, and you can take it from my cold dead hands. You know, the Bible teaches that if you don't have a sword, Jesus said this, if you don't have a sword, sell your garment and buy one. That's your Savior saying you need to have a weapon to protect yourself and your family.
Right.
And they're trying to disarm us. They're trying to disarm our nation. And as the world's getting wicked, more wicked, do you think I'm going to sell my guns? Or do you think I'm going to buy more guns? You better believe I'm already wanting to buy some more guns. Actually, I'm always wanting to buy more guns. So, I mean, that doesn't change whether it's... whether something like that happens or not, I'm always in the market to get another gun. But it definitely, every time something like this happens, I'm like, man, I need to be carrying more guns. I need to be carrying a bigger gun. You know, like I need to step it up. And so, because as the world gets more wicked, it's going to get more violent, and there's going to be more things that, like, mark it down, my friends, more stuff like this is going to happen. It's going to happen again. Because when you have wickedness and you got everything that's being pushed that this is normal and this is right, God's protection is coming away from our country. And he's just letting wickedness do what it does. You know, that's what happened before the flood came. There was violence in the earth in those days because of all the wickedness that was going on. And it escalated so much to where God destroyed the whole earth with water. Do you know that's going to happen again, but not with water? He promised he wouldn't flood the earth with water. But you know what he's going to baptize the earth with next? Fire. That's what's coming next. And it's going to be baptized with fire because of all the iniquity and sin. And you know, the land is polluted with violence today. The land is polluted with blood today. But he's going to purify it with fire one day. And he's going to be just doing. He's going to be justified in his sayings. And he's going to be clear when he's judged. Because when he pronounces this judgment against the world, when he slays all the wicked, when he baptizes this earth with fire, it's just judgment. It's what needs to happen. But Proverbs 30, go to Proverbs 30. We're almost done. This is what we have today. And there's nothing new under the sun. It's not like when he wrote this in Proverbs 30, this wasn't going on. But it's exponential today. When I look at this stuff, it's just exponential. I see it going. When you think something's never going to happen, and then it happens, you're just like, why? Like, you just wouldn't think that would happen. Would you think that sodomy would be something that is praised today as being a hero? Someone's a hero because they had a sex change? Did you ever think that would happen? Did you ever think that bestiality is going to be praised? Because it will. Do you ever think that pedophilia is going to be praised? It will. When this world is getting down into this wicked, vile garbage that's coming in. And you know that's where it's going to separate the sheep from the goats. That's when you're going to finally have people stand up and say, you know what, no more. And that's when you're going to have wars and rumors of wars. And you're going to have all the stuff that's on that chart over there. And so, Proverbs 30, verse 11. Notice what it says here. It says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords and their jaw teeth as knives to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. And this is what we have today, is we have a generation that's pure in their own eyes. Yeah. And here's the thing, I don't watch these late night shows, but you see these clips. Obviously, when all this stuff goes down, you got these trending clips of these people, and everybody's just praising them, like, oh man, you're so enlightened, Jimmy Kimmel. You're so enlightened, whoever these talk show hosts are, as far as what you have to say about gun control, and then that anybody that was against gun control needs to ask God for forgiveness. No, you need to ask God for forgiveness. And I pray you're not a reprobate, but if you are, you're going to die in hell and you're twice dead, plucked up by the roots anyway. But if you don't get saved, your hell is waiting for you. And that, and it's for the lowest hell for people like that, that stand up and have that microphone to tell the nation that they're wicked for wanting to protect their family. When he is pontificating and grandstanding for abortion, for killing innocent babies. And it's just, it's crazy to me that anybody would take that guy seriously. That anyone would take any of these celebrities seriously. They act for a living. They pretend for a living. You know, the idols that people have, you know, we were reading in Deuteronomy 28 about them worshiping idols. You know, we have that in our nation. It's called the celebrities and the athletes and everybody that's out there. Do you realize that they're all just pretending? They act for a living. They're not really. Harrison Ford's not Indiana Jones, my friend. As much as I like Indiana Jones and think he's a cool character, he's not him. These guys that act like they're tough guys on camera, they cross their legs like a woman when you see them speak. And so these people are not who they really are. They're all actors. They play a game, and yet they are held up like they're some kind of God's gift, or that they have some kind of intellectual morality that they're going to tell us. And so this generation is pure in their own eyes. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know that the Proverbs says that twice, because in Proverbs 14 it says it, Proverbs 16 says the same thing. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I think it's repeated because it's important. You know, these people that think they're right, yeah, there's a way that seems right, but it's death in the end. And so this death and all this stuff that's going on, and the people that are trying to pin it on anybody that's conservative or believes, you know, in God and, you know, religion, they always try to pin it on religion. You know, it's their own selves. They need to look in the mirror as far as what they preach and teach when it comes to the wickedness that they do. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, this is something that's heard all throughout the nation. You just need to trust in your heart. If your heart's telling you to do this, trust what you think and what you know. Well, there's a way that seemeth right, right? That's something that you would think of. But the fool, it says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, it says in Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Anybody that's just trusting what they do by just what their heart thinks or what their heart does, it's desperately wicked above all things. It's deceitful above all things. And if you're trusting in that, you're a fool. Layman's terms, you're an idiot. If you're trusting in your heart. And these people in Hollywood, Hollywood, and all the New York City, and all these different people that are trying to spread their filth on us, you know, they're a bunch of fools that are trusting in their heart. They think they're right. They think that what they're saying is more moral and right, but they're a bunch of fools. They're a bunch of idiots. So God is wiser than man. And in 1 Corinthians 1, it says, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. And you have all these wise people that are up in these, you know, that are out there on the news and talking about their policies and all that. God is wiser than them all. His foolishness is wiser than them, than their highest wisdom that they would have. His foolishness. And that just shows you, obviously God's not foolish, but any wisdom that he has that's on the bottom of the shelf is wiser than what they would have to say. So this is where we need to go. This makes wise the simple. This is the perfect law of liberty. This is like reading the newspaper, my friends. Has it ever seemed more relevant to you when you read Deuteronomy 28? Deuteronomy 28, that's Old Testament law, right? But that's moral law. That's something that never changes. It was like that before. You know that sodomy was this wrong. You know that when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, that was before the Old Testament law was given. So God judged that and said that was wicked abomination back then, and it still is today. And we have a nation that is wicked, that's pure in its own eyes, and sin is a reproach to any people. Sin is a reproach to this nation. And why do we see death and violence and all this wickedness and all this stuff that's going on? Why do we see all these consequences in our country? It's because of the wickedness and sin that our country has committed. And it's only going to get worse unless this country gets right with God. Unless this country starts, righteousness exalteth a nation. If you want our nation to be exalted, if you want God, if you want to sing that song, God Bless America, then we need to have righteousness in our country.
Amen.
And it's going to happen through boots on the ground from churches of God that are preaching the truth, that are going out and preaching the gospel of peace, and then getting them into church and getting them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you, and then lo, Jesus will be with us all the way until the end of the world. And you know, I don't want to scare you tonight as far as, or tonight, this morning, it's almost tonight, right, if I keep going. So, but I don't want to scare you as far as, I don't believe anybody in this room is who I'm preaching at, but we need to know the truth about the Bible, about God's judgment, and we need to know that we need to be righteous. We need to be that righteous remnant to where God doesn't just completely annihilate our country with our children and everything in it. And so we need to step it up. We need to step up our righteousness. We need to be different from this world, and people will see it. And we're making a difference out there. We're making a difference in this community as far as winning people to Christ. We're going to make a difference when it comes to the righteousness that's going to be in this country. We're small now, but I do believe God's going to do great exploits through his people in the end times. And I hope we're one of those people. I hope we're Noah, Daniel, and Job. To where he's going to look at the churches and say, you know what, Mountain Baptist Church, Faithful Word Baptist Church, these people that are doing great things for God, I'm going to make sure I protect them. And then we can lift up our eyes for our redemption draweth nigh when we see Jesus coming in the clouds. And so, but we need to be righteous. We need to be doing what we're doing. And don't falter. Know that there's consequences, even for sins that you wouldn't think would be that bad. where there's crazy people and just wickedness. It's a violent world out there. We live in perilous times. We need to be prepared for it. And so let's end with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. And Lord, we just pray that you be with us today as we enjoy the afternoon, this Sunday, and then as we come back to the evening service. But Lord, we just thank you for your word, and thank you for your protection. Lord, thank you for teaching us everything that we should observe. And Lord, just help us to be as righteous as Noah, Daniel, and Job, that we would be that righteous remnant in this country. And Lord, just I pray that you would stay your hand of judgment for the sake of those that would be saved. And Lord, just help us to be that light and that pillar and ground of the truth here at Mountain Baptist Church. And Lord, we love you. And pray all this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.